Hi, you're listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. If you want to jump right into the conversation with billionaire trust fund kid Donnie Rothschild of the infamous Rothschild family, feel free to skip ahead. If you want to hear my response to some comments I've been getting regarding the last few episodes with Anonymous GPT and Stephen Armstrong, the misinformation expert, then stick around. And also, why not enjoy this incredible new release from the Slamper Brothers?
Your feet on the air and your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it. Your head will collapse and there's nothing in it.
And you'll ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Way out in the water, see it swimming. I was swimming in the Caribbean. Animals were hiding behind the rod, except the little fish. Bumped into me, I swear he was trying to talk to me, Corcoran. Animals were hiding behind the rock, except the little fish. Bumped into me, I swear he was trying to talk to me, Corcoran. With your feet on the air and your head on the ground, try this trick and spin it, yeah. Your head will collapse, and there's nothing in it. And you'll ask yourself, where is my mind?
Where is my mind?
Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Way out in the water, see it swimming.
Greetings, my eternal wanderers on the disc of time. It is I, D. Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I want to say thank you to all of you who have been sending me messages about the last couple of episodes of the DTFH, specifically my interaction with Anonymous GPT and Stephen Armstrong, the misinformation expert. This comment someone posted on the Instagram clip of my interview with Stephen Armstrong, the misinformation expert, sums it up perfectly.
You're great, and I appreciate so much of what you do, but your last few transmissions felt like a very mean joke. The setup is totally plausible, and your intro was so heartfelt and genuine that I almost had a panic attack listening to it. I know I should have been able to tell immediately it was a bit, but damn, man, who knows these days? It was a bit, right?
The question to your answer is no. And now here is Amy Polk with a review of the much-anticipated Cantaraqua Spritz.
Products and stuff and content and items and hauls and purchases and more stuff. We are buying more stuff.
At first glance, the Cantaraqua Spritz Ultra boasts an ethereal elegance with its six tabernacles shimmering under the faintest light. A stark contrast to its predecessor's more austere demeanor. These tabernacles are not just for show. They house an astounding 108 sigils per square inch, a testament to the unparalleled craftsmanship of Mordron's finest. My journey with the Cantaraqua Spritz led me to an extraordinary daydream where I became a purple butterfly, flitting through an endless garden of surreal flora. The sensation was so vivid, so utterly encompassing that upon returning to my human form, I was left in a delicate state of confusion. For hours, the boundaries between my humanity and the butterfly's ethereal existence remained blurred, leaving me to ponder if I was indeed a human who dreamt of being a purple butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming of being human. This experience, while profound, highlights a potential caveat of the ultra's power. The line between dreamscape and reality can become unsettlingly thin. Canaraka Spritz Ultra is a revolutionary step in illusion tech, offering unparalleled depth and customization for those seeking to explore their imagination.
Daddy, oh daddy, what do you eat? Such horrible bowls of slime. Your body's a temple, a hairy meat miracle. And your body is all that you got. Why not try Factor?
This episode of the DTFH has been supported by Factor. Factor is incredible. When they sent me these incredible meals, I was stunned. It blew my mind. My crown chakra exploded, a burst, an ejaculation of pure rainbow pranic energy when I realized that somehow a thing that you put in the microwave can taste like you ate at a four-star restaurant, that you were tended to by some French chef who was in love with you and your wife. Looking for gourmet meals? You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. These are no fuss, no mess meals. You simply heat it and savor these incredible meals. You ever watch Star Trek The New Generation? Remember, you just press a button on the thing and it spits out some incredibly delicious futuristic meal. This is as close to that as you're going to get, at least at this point in human history. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for Factor's lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/Dunkin50 and use code Dunkin50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Dunkin50 at factormeals.com. You must try these. My passion is real. I can't believe this stuff exists. You'll love it. I've got a growing family, and I'm living inside of capitalism. And what that means is that I'm going to be doing lots and lots of stand-up shows. You can find me April 12th and April 13th at Hyena's Comedy Nightclub in Fort Worth and Dallas, Texas. After that, I'm going to be in the City of Lucifer, the Lightbringer, Las Vegas, April 26th and April 27th at Wise Guys. Then I'm headed back to Cobb's May 3rd and May 4th. That's Cobb's Comedy Club, San Francisco. Last time I was there, I got norovirus and almost projectile vomited on stage, so I couldn't finish all my shows. I want to make that up to you sweeties there in San Fran. You can find me at Cobb's. Then May 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm going to be at the Milwaukee Improv in Brookfield, Wisconsin. After that, I'm coming back to one of my favorite clubs ever, Helium in Portland. Lots of other dates, including an extra show we added to the Asheville shows at the Orange Peel on June 11th and 12th. Then right after that, I'm going to be at Good Nights Comedy Club the 13th, 14th, and 15th. You can find all my dates at DuncanTrussell.com. Also, if you want commercial-free episodes of the DTFH, subscribe to my Patreon. It's patreon.com/DTFH. Gang, I know today's guest is a little controversial, I know that a lot of you out there have a deep and probably justified suspicion and fear of what many are calling the global elite or the 1%. On the message boards I frequent, accusations range from ideas that these people are involved in some kind of satanic cult to they're transhumanists who are trying to manipulate the world population to cause negative population growth because they're aware of the fact that we're about to go full automation, thus reducing the need for as many humans because robots are going to do everybody's job and humans are very difficult to herd, much more difficult than sheep, probably not as difficult as monkeys. Like if you wanted to herd, you don't hear about monkey shepherds because they don't exist, because I'm sure it would be dangerous to try to herd like chimpanzees through a forest. When Donnie Rothschild reached out to me telling me that he loved the Midnight Gospel and that he would love to come on my podcast, I didn't respond. I like interviewing comedians. I like interviewing spiritual leaders. Billionaire kid, a trust fund kid, have to teach us or to talk about. And then late one night, I was given a Porsche by some interesting dudes who pulled up to my house in a black van. This has never happened to me before. I have gotten a lot of cool gifts from you guys. Many of them are in my podcast studio right now. Most recently, some beautiful toys from Wonder Goblin, the incredible toy maker. You should definitely check out his Instagram. But I've never gotten a luxury vehicle, a modified luxury vehicle. I haven't taken it anywhere to find out what the actual value of the thing is, because honestly, I'm a little nervous about that. But one of the things that I've been taught is that by saying no to things, by not accepting gifts, you sort of cut off the circuitry of the universe. So with some reservations, I chose to accept the Rothschild Porsche, and on my first drive, I noticed that there was a cell phone on the seat that had a sticker on it that said, "Call me." So I picked up the phone, called the only number in it, felt like James Bond. Donnie Rothschild answers the phone, and as I'm driving around in this insane car, we had an incredible conversation, and I realized this is a perfect guest for the DTFH. Here is someone who is going to challenge some of you. Here is someone who is going to ask you to reconsider some of the misconceptions you might have about the global elite, the 1%. And I tried to bring up as many hard questions as I could think of, questions that I'm sure many of you would want to ask Donnie Rothschild. And I think you're going to be surprised by his answers, which were balanced and beautiful and have totally redefined my idea of how I look at the ultra, 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 ultra wealthy. I mean, what is the limit of compassion? Is compassion socioeconomic? Do we only have compassion for people who land in certain socioeconomic brackets? But if you are born into an incredibly powerful, incredibly infamous family and don't have to worry about any financial situations for your entire life, do you not deserve the compassion that many of us work every day to cultivate? Obviously, the answer is you deserve it. Everyone deserves it, and I hope that you will have a little compassion as you listen to this conversation with Donnie Rothschild. And now, everybody, welcome to the DTFH, Donnie Rothschild!
Don't control your family.
Donnie Rothschild. Welcome to the DTFH, man. How are you doing?
Dude, let me just say, I'm honored to be here to talk to you, man. I'm a big fan. Everything you do.
Thank you.
Everything. You've honestly, man, you've changed my life. I don't want to be that kind of guy,
really?
But you've like changed my life with the things you preach, the things you teach. And I'm just really happy to be here to talk to you, man.
Dude, that is wild. But you know, like when you do a podcast, like, you know, people are listening. You don't know who is listening. And so when your people reached out to me, I was kind of blown away to hear that a Rothschild listens to my podcast. I mean, you have to understand your family is, you know, it's the Rothschilds, you know, people are pretty, you know.
Also, I want to apologize. I'm sorry that they showed up at 3 a.m. in a black van and delivered the note, me requesting to come on the show. It's just policy. We just don't like to leave, you know, emails and just like a digital
trail. I got lucky with that because I was coming home from doing shows at the mothership and, you know, it freaked me out because like the Uber lets me out and there's this like weird black van sitting in front of my house. But you know, your assistant's super cool, funny.
He's great.
And like he calmed me down right away. And then like he's like, yeah, dude, what wild. I mean that, and also I hope you don't mind that I just say it. Thank you. I've gotten a lot of gifts over the course of podcasting.
Yeah.
But no one's given me a Porsche. So, dude, are you kidding me?
Dude, it's like it's not a big deal. I have like 9 of them and I remember when I was a kid and I got my first car. It was a Mercedes C-Class. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the feeling of my other classmates, the judgment.
Right.
Of me not having a Porsche. And then when I found out you don't drive a Porsche, I was thinking to myself, man, the judgment Duncan must be getting, even though he does all this good work. Yeah. I want to help him and actually make him feel included into the family because I truly believe everybody deserves a Porsche.
Man, I mean, yeah, after driving this thing, I feel that way too. And, you know, I don't want to like I feel weird about how good it makes me feel driving that thing around. And I will be honest, a lot of the comedians I work with have like really nice sports cars. And, you know, I kind of, it did feel weird pulling up into the parking lot, you know, and just like a basic bitch Mercedes, you know, and they
makes you feel
like,
little.
They weren't. Yeah.
Makes you feel
they
useless.
Wouldn't say anything. They acted like they thought it was cool. But now when everyone's like, holy shit, man, I mean, this is like this is a nice customized, the sound system isn't, I mean, I feel like every time I get in there, I feel like I'm at a rave. It's nuts.
I designed it myself just for that, you know? When I'm in my car, I don't know about you, but when I'm in my car, that's when I do most of my thinking. And I don't want to hear the drowning out of like police sirens or ambulance. I want to drown all that out so I can focus on how I want to better my community, how I want to better the world.
Yep.
And it's an ambulance. I get it. They're doing good work. But who are they really helping? They're only helping one person. Me, I'm trying to help multiple people.
Right. Well, over the weeks we've been talking on the phone and via email, we've talked about this on the phone. So hopefully this doesn't offend you. You don't mind me talking about it publicly. But I, like so many other people, had a preconceived notion about what the super wealthy of the world would be like. I imagined you to be, you know, people like you to be completely disconnected from society, snobbish, materialistic, disconnected, and you know, sinister to some degree. I mean, I don't know if you go on the conspiracy message boards, Donnie, but you know, people don't say great things about your family, but I've been pleasantly surprised.
It hurts because, man, I feel like my family is like any American family, you know?
Right.
You know, it's, my family goes on day trips. Like yesterday, my pops woke me up. You know, it's like Easter Sunday, and my pops woke me up, and we flew to Mexico to go for an ostrich Easter egg hunt. Like these big, you know, we got to fucking cast it out. It was fun. We do what every normal family does, you know. We go out.
Yeah, I did an egg hunt with my kids.
Where'd you
yesterday.
Go?
Just the backyard. Just put some plastic eggs around.
Oh, cool. Cool, man. That's cool. Backyards are fun, too. Backyards are cool, too.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're just like you. And I think that's kind of what I want to do, is just show the world that, hey, just because, you know, we may be a little bit more gifted, you know, we may be a little smarter, just because we have higher education doesn't mean we're that much different.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And maybe, hopefully, I can help others, and maybe one day, in my dream, man, the day I die, I hope 20% of the population is driving a Porsche. If 20% of the population owns
a
Porsche, I could die with a smile on my face.
That's a lot of Porsches.
It's a lot of Porsches. That's why it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it seems like in the culture right now, you know, I just saw it on the way back from the gym today. Somebody had a bumper sticker on their car that said, "Eat the rich." Like, and you know, there's this in the culture, a kind of sentiment about wealthy people, and people feel really angry. They think, and I know you've probably heard this before, but let me just say it for the people listening who are probably thinking the same thing. They feel like the whole system's rigged. They feel like, you know, once you get a certain level of wealth and you're inheriting wealth, that you have not just an unfair advantage, an impossible advantage, that no one is going to be able to catch up with you. And just the nature of capitalism is that when you have a certain amount of money, you're going to make more money. And in a world of limited resources, that means that money is flowing from the bottom to the top. So, which is why we're starting to see this increasing disparity between the wealthy and people in different economic groups. And that this is actually kind of dangerous in the sense that there's a lot more of us than there are of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like no amount of private security is going to protect you from the whole planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point, it seems like the tension could get so intense that people are just like, fuck it. Why do these guys have all this stuff when we should distribute it among everybody?
Can I just say one thing, though? I understand that sentiment, and I 100% get it. But I just feel like a lot of people just don't understand the pressures that, like, for instance, I go through. I remember when I was 19 years old, my dad gave me $50 million to do my first like big investment. I was like so thrilled. And I was 19 and I decided to invest it in Gaddafi. I felt like Gaddafi had some good things running. I felt like he, you know,
Libyan dictator?
Yeah, I thought he could bring Libya back. And then
how do you invest money in a dictator?
You know, we met up in Vegas, at the MGM, and we were just talking, and I was like, he was like, "Hey man, if you give me $50 million, I can invest it in my economy. You know, we could we could like open up little restaurants, call them Donnie, like the TGIFs of Libya, but it's gonna be my face. Like I'm gonna be, you know, like Donnie's Chicken Wings, and it was gonna be like really cool. We were gonna help modernize." And then 2 weeks later, those the Libyan people raided. They found him and they killed him, and boom, the $50 million was gone. And I got to tell you, that Christmas, my father didn't speak to me. And it's
I mean, he must have been so pissed.
It's that pressure. It's just at a young age, we have these pressure where I feel like, you know, the poor, they get to live so free. They get to live, you know, they just get to have sex and, you know, fucking go to the movies, just grease, butter. And it's, I envy that.
Yeah.
I envy that. And
that freedom.
I envy the freedom that poor people have.
I want droopy noodles in my pasta, not in my pants. Can't romance, can I dance with my floppy flippy flapper? It's like a robbery last. Can't poke with a lipo, take the chance, grind it and chomp, chomp, chomp on a blue shoe tablet.
A big thank you to Blue Chew for supporting this episode of the DTFH. Blue Chew, it's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. This is the real thing, friends. I have tested it multiple times. This is not that gas station garbage that makes you feel like an imp just shoved its finger into your brain. Oh no, this stuff is rocket fuel. The best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. We salute you, USA, and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. I would not do this ad if I hadn't self-tested these wonderful chewable tablets. They work. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at bluechew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Duncan at checkout. You just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Duncan, to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And I thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the DTFH.
Chomp, chomp, chomp on the Blue Chew tablet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it what your story does kind of remind me when I was living in LA, kind of struggling as a comic, didn't have any money really, and my car got booted.
Wow.
And yeah, and I had to call my dad and get him to send me $700 to get the boot off my car, and he was like really disappointed and worried about me. So I guess that is a similarity.
It's the same. I mean, you know, your dad was like, maybe come back home, you know, college or work. My dad was calling me like, get out of Libya, you know, they're taking over. And I'm like, Dad, yeah, this still might work. It's the same thing. Your dad
You were in Libya during the revolution? Like, you were there?
Yeah. I thought I could maybe convince him, like, hey guys, the fucking Donnie's chicken wings is coming. Like, guys,
it's gonna get better.
We're gonna open up an IMAX theater down the street. You're finally gonna get to see Avatar in the way it was meant to be seen. Like,
So that's probably, I mean, I could see how that's kind of heartbreaking for you. Like, you know, right around the corner was this new Libya, and the people, they were so frustrated that they didn't have the patience to wait for that IMAX. They didn't have the patience to wait for the convenience of like a nice fast food place, I guess.
And I don't want to attack anybody, because that's just not the kind of guy I am. But that's like my thing about poor people. Poor people aren't patient, even though they both start with P's. Poor people need to be more patient.
Right.
Because it takes time. It takes time to create change, it takes time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you might be poor now, but man, if you just be patient, hopefully by your like great grandkid, you know, your family are millionaires. Just be patient. Let us do our thing. Let us do our thing.
You're saying like, trust the process.
Trust the process.
Like, so this is nice to, because this is great to hear, because, you know, when I'm in my more cynical moments, I look at the world and I know the data regarding like wealth in the world, and you know, I hear people like, what's his name, Klaus Schwab, you know, the guy who's like, you will own nothing and you'll, do you know that guy,
Uncle Klaus? Yeah,
what's he? Well, let me finish my thought here. You know, I see that stuff, and it just there feels like a disconnect. It feels like you could say some of the things he's saying out loud and think that's really going to comfort people who maybe can't make their rent or you know, can't afford, have to, or having to make these hard decisions about like getting their kids in preschool or getting medical care for their kids and food. When I hear stuff like that, it feels like, and I don't need to put you in a box here, but it does feel like you guys don't quite understand what it's like for like the average American, the average person living in the world right now. So it's nice to hear that there's some actual plan.
Can I just say Uncle Klaus, like, I know sometimes he says some wacky stuff. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to Thanksgiving and your grandpa, like, you know, calls a certain group a certain word and you're just like, grandpa, you can't say that anymore. That's how Uncle Klaus is when he talks about, you know, people paying the rent or going to college. We don't all agree with Uncle Klaus, but we laugh at it, you know. We let him talk. He doesn't have much longer to live. So for instance, when you say people going to college and, you know, making college more affordable, I'm starting a scholarship because I was lucky enough to go to Oxford because my great grandfather Nathaniel Charles Jacob, he was an Oxford man back in the 30s, and he always wanted me to go to Oxford. And I got to have a real fun experience. I got to go, you know, I never really went to class. That's when I started experimenting with, hallucinogens, LSD, mushrooms.
Really?
It was fun, you know?
I mean, that's a classic college thing. That's a classic college. But I thought Oxford, I always pictured Oxford to be kind of intense, like high pressure, you know, a lot of competition.
It is if you go to like the classes.
You're saying,
if you actually go, that's what I didn't like. That's why I didn't like, you know, when I was in the classes, I felt like stress. I felt like, I liked the free spirit of it. So, you know, just because of my family, I still got a degree, even though I kind of, you know, fucked off, as they say.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean you got a degree? You mean you didn't have to? They don't just give you a degree at Oxford. You got to work your ass off.
Well, you know, when you come from a family like mine, you know, you can pull a few strings. You know, a professor, we're like, hey, give him a degree. You know, he tried. And the professor realized he did show up twice, you know, that's trying. And so I'm starting this new call.
That doesn't seem unfair to you. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people, they go to Oxford, they are lucky to even get in there, and then they have to work their asses off. Like, don't you think people might hear this and be like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Like, I almost killed myself. And a Rothschild just like goes a few classes and gets a degree. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That doesn't seem fair.
What is fair? You know, that's fair. I don't even know the definition of fair off the top of my mind. But again, that's why I want to help every year.
Equity. I mean, fair would mean that you and I have a like the same. Like a level playing field. So you and I are, you know what I mean? Like, let's just say you and I are playing Foursquare. Yep. Or not for, what's it called? That game where you drop the things and the thing. What's that called? Connect Four. Yeah. Okay. Well, you and I are playing Connect Four. Yep. And the idea would be that we have the same amount of pieces, the same number of turns. And so like that's fair, you know? So unfair would be like for every one turn I take, you got to take two. That would be unfair. So that's how I would define fair.
But can I propose this? Let's say you beat me with your one versus two plays. Wouldn't you feel better?
Yeah. That would make me feel great.
Did you just hear your voice right there? So it's not always a bad thing. And that's why I want to... I'm starting this college. This college fund, where I'm going to pick three kids a year, where they can pick any university they want to go to. I'm going to fund it. You know, they can go to the class.
Wow.
They don't have to.
Well, what if their academics aren't enough that they could get in? Like, it's hard to get into these schools. It's almost impossible.
It's, you know, you just follow me on if you follow my Instagram, you know, like my post, reshare at least one post a month, you're in the raffle, you know? So I'll pick three kids. I'm going to send them to
that, but that it's a raffle. You're not picking people based on, I don't know, like scholastic performance, community service. You're just saying it's an Instagram raffle.
Yeah, I want them to know the experience of what it's like to be a Rothschild. Because if you think about it, it was kind of a raffle of me becoming a Rothschild. You know, I was the seed that that implanted my mom's eggs. In a way, that's a raffle. So I want them to feel
that's cool.
The real Rothschild experience. So yeah, it's good.
Got it.
It's going to be random. There's no age gap.
Just chaos based, basically. Yeah. It's just like basically like it's chaos. It's like you didn't chaos allowed you to be born a Rothschild. Chaos is going to allow whoever is lucky enough to get your Instagram to win the Instagram raffle into a really nice school, even though they may be. What if somebody like, I don't know, is like not equipped to go to like Harvard or something? Like, what if they have like, what if they haven't graduated high school or they didn't go to high school?
That's the beauty of it. They don't have to go to the actual class because I'm going to do what my father did, just, you know, fucking pay off some teacher, and then they're going to get the degree. And then whatever they do with the degree, it's up to them. So in a way, I'm just creating like little step Rothschild families. Because I'm personally, I don't want to,
Go ahead. I'm sorry if I'm making it uncomfortable. I don't want to. I mean, I really have to emphasize this. No one's given me a Porsche before. And I am so grateful to you for that. You're clearly a very generous, good-hearted person. So I'm not trying to do some kind of like Tucker Carlson style attack thing here. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to speak for my audience who I know, you know, some of them are really struggling.
No, you're just good. I just got a little emotional there for a second because, as you probably heard the news, my ex, she passed away recently. And
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
And a big reason we broke up was because, you know, we found out I was infertile and I couldn't have kids. Okay. So in a way.
So you broke up prior to the accident.
We broke up prior to the accident.
Donnie, I'm sorry. I have to ask this. I'm sorry to cut you off. If I don't ask this, people are going to get mad at me who listen to the show because a lot of people know about this. And I'm just going to say what I've read. And this is maybe a good chance to help people and maybe understand the truth. Cause I know a lot of things get distorted online, but I'm kind of uncomfortable to say this, but it's already out there. Before she was your girlfriend, she was your nanny for 15 Correct. Years.
Correct.
And so, you know, a lot of people are saying that's kind of the implications there would be that maybe there was some grooming that happened, or, I mean, she was like,
you could call it grooming, but I don't know. She knows me from top to bottom ever since I was 12. So like, it's like, you know what I mean? We've just spent so much time together. Top you to know, bottom. She used to wipe my ass. So why when I'm over
at 12, she wiped your ass at 12.
Yeah. I had like a little arm. I can't fully extend my arm back. So she would have to help wipe. And so my thing is just like, so if she's wiping my ass at 12, why isn't she allowed to lick my ass when I'm like 21? What's the difference? You know what I mean? I'm of legal age. And what is age anyway? It's just a number.
Well, look, I'm not the jury here. I just want you, it's nice to thank you for honestly answering these questions. The other thing that's floating around is she was, I guess, about to publish some kind of unauthorized book on the Rothschilds and now that book is not being published anymore after the accident.
No, that's false.
The people are implying.
It was a very positive book about a family vacation we went on. Yeah, there was like maybe some negativity, like, oh, you know, no family quorums, but like nothing – This is just the media speaking out of their, you know, their butt, may I say, because you know, every relationship, you know, has arguments. I bet you, you know, you have a wife, you probably argue with your wife. It's that doesn't mean she's going to go out and write a book about your entire family tomorrow. So that is false.
Well, I mean, there wouldn't be much to say, you know, I mean, about my family, there's not a lot of like conspiracy or drama in the family. And I she did tell her mom that if anything happened to her, it wasn't an accident.
Well, you can't assume accidents are going to happen. Accidents that come out of nowhere, you know?
Like, even if you do say something like that, that doesn't mean that a normal kind of accident wouldn't
Tesla's
happen.
She was driving a Tesla. They malfunctioned, you know? You know, the electric pedal sticks sometimes and you drive off a cliff and into the river and then the doors malfunction. You can't open. It's just over and over. I'm just saying it's...
But the glass wouldn't... I mean, the thing they're saying is the glass didn't... It seemed like it was non-standard glass and like someone had put some kind of very... powerful bulletproof glass in the car so they couldn't break through it.
Well, you got to I installed the glass myself. You have to compromise.
Oh,
because you want
you're a car
person. Do you want bullets coming in or do you want to be able to come out? You can't have both. You have to pick. So if you don't want stuff coming in, hey, when you're drowning in your car, you also can't go out.
Subscribe to an app that turns my face into a fly. $20 a month, that shit adds up. Every single month, spend $1 million. Fly trap, it's a fly trap. Parasitic money, sucking evil app. From the digital tree comes poison honey. Time to save yourself with rocket money. Rock, 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 rock. Rocket money. Money.
Thank you, Rocket Money, for supporting the DTFH, and not just doing that, but freeing me from these parasitic hell subscriptions that I keep subscribing to, and I'm too lazy to go through the sometimes time-consuming process of unsubscribing. It works. Not only that, but I use Rocket Money to see where my money's going. It does an amazing analysis of how you're spending money, and it frees you, liberates you. It purifies you from the dark taint of unwanted apps. Did you know that 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I was definitely in that 75%, and 99% of the subscriptions I had, I didn't want anymore. These things are never ending, but thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Duncan. That's rocketmoney.com/Duncan. rocketmoney.com/Duncan.
Rocket Money.
You're a car
person. Do you want bullets coming in or do you want to be able to come out? You can't have both. You have to pick. So if you don't want stuff coming in, hey, when you're drowning in your car, you also can't go out.
And the thing with her hard drives and all the research material being in the trunk, and it was inundated with water.
I don't know. And this is not against you.
I'm so sorry.
No,
look,
it's not against you.
I don't do this kind of
answer,
podcast.
I'm
going
to answer these questions. I just want to say.
Okay, and I'm done with this.
I'm going to continue.
I'm sorry. Love my Porsche.
How is it? Why am I getting assumed that I killed her? Women like carrying stuff around. That's why they have big purses. My ex liked to carry her stuff around. She liked to put stuff in the trunk, her files, her, you know, bank statements. She didn't want that stuff just laying around. She always wanted to know where it was.
No, same with my wife. Same with my wife. The trunk of her car is just filled with all kinds of stuff. And it wouldn't surprise me if there was a hard drive or some kind of data storage unit in there. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Totally. Again, this is why I think it's so good what you're doing. I think it's so good that you are, you know, having this conversation, because I think if the conversation doesn't happen, you know, like the royal family, what's going on over there, they're not really having an honest discussion, and people project on the unknown the worst things ever. And so already I'm sure everyone listening who probably initially was like, why the fuck are you having a conversation with a Rothschild? They're warming up. They're probably now like, oh, you know, yeah, it's a tragedy. And again, this is to me the real, I mean, aside from the awful loss of life and how much she probably suffered, because it wasn't a great, I'm sorry, I'll cut that out. Your heart must be broken.
Distraught, man. That's why I'm starting this college fund is because our big last argument was about how I'm infertile and I can't have kids. And so in a way, me doing this Instagram lottery, sending kids to college or sending people to college, is a way of me creating my little own Rothschilds and my little, you know, and I'm going to allow, I might do this. I might not. It's just an idea I floated. It's like, I might pay them extra if I can name them, you know, because me and my ex, we had names for kids.
Them.
So it's like, fucking Marcus, you know, it's like, your name's Marcus now, go to college. Yeah. But like, because I want to feel.
What about, are you giving them the last name too, or just change the first name?
You got to have our blood to get Rothschild. We'll stick with the first name. And if we can somehow figure out blood transfusion or something, we might go there, but from right now, we're just going to stick with the first name.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I mean, that's beautiful. I'll post a link to your Instagram so people can go there and maybe, you know, you could really change a lot of lives that way. Now, I'm impressed with the album you sent over. So, you know, this is a really cool thing. Let me pull it up here. One second. Let me find it. Sorry, man. I'm not very good with Riverside here. Where is that? Okay. Media. All right. So this is, I get the way you describe, or the way your publicist described it to me. For some people, this might be a little bit before their time, but maybe before your time. There was a movement called We Are the World, where, you know, all these famous people got together and sang this song together. You could watch the video. It's insane. Like every famous singer in the world in studio, Michael Jackson right there singing along with Lionel Richie. Yeah. It was very moving, and it raised a lot of money and helped fight people who are dealing with hunger all over the world. And so this reminds me of that. The name of the album is We Are All the Same. If people are interested, you can go to the website, wearealltheSame.com. Mm-hmm. And so instead of
the website is actually wearejustlikeyou.com.
Oh, wearejustlikeyou.com.
We're just like you.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Sorry. The name of this, the album is We Are All the Same. And this is the title track. So I want to play a little clip from it. But the difference here is that it's not like famous pop singers singing this stuff. These are members of some of the most powerful families on earth. I think you've got a Bezos singing on this. You've got a Gates singing on this. That's pretty cool, because a lot of the tracks that I've listened to, the singers are really good.
A funny little story before we play the song. You know, we had the CEO of a Deutsche Bank come in, and you know, the day he was supposed to come in, sing his song, apparently he went out late the night before, did, you know, a little bit too much nose candy, and his throat was all mixed up.
What?
Yeah. So hopefully if this album does well, he'll come on the second album. But like,
oh, yeah, great.
I just want to say, like, we missed him because he has an amazing voice. So please get this album so that we can have the CEO of Deutsche Bank come on for the second album. That's because cool. it was a lot of fun making this.
Do you remember what song he was going to sing?
He was going to sing, the song. It was called, The Housing Market Goes Up and Down, Up and Down. It's kind of like a version of The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. But it's like,
that's still like a kid song.
It's kind of like a kid song, but it has like an upbeat. It's kind of like an EDM song, you know, the housing market goes up and sometimes goes down and sometimes goes up down and up and down. Cool. It's like a fun, just
sounds
almost
badass
to educate people how the housing market happens, you know? It's like, yeah, you might lose your house one day, but eventually you might get it back, you know?
Right, right, right. It's easy to forget that when you lose your house, that you could maybe get it back. So this is the title track from the album. Do you remember who sang this? We Are All the Same.
We Are All the Same. This track is a little different. We didn't get a. This was a was right after my ex passed. I took a little trip.
Yeah.
To Ibiza, and you know, I met this girl, and we spent an amazing week together, and this is when I came up with the idea of the album. And you know, after like an amazing love making session, I asked her if she would like to like be on the first track. So this is my this is an exclusive, but we got married in Ibiza. This is Janice Rothschild, my wife. This is her.
Congratulations. Oh my God. That's so great, man. Oh, that's so, you know what they say when one door closes, another door opens, or, you know, when
one
door
crashes,
I guess
another one comes off the conveyor belt. That's what Ford said that. Yeah. When one car crashes, another one comes off the conveyor belt.
There's always another one on the conveyor belt. That's cool. So, all right, we'll just go ahead and play this a little bit from this song. What's the website again?
The website is wearejustlikeyou.com, and that's where you can download the album. You know, you can get this track. The album will be releasing soon, but you can get this track.
Okay.
Okay,
cool. All right, here we go.
You're people of the world. We are all the same.
Beautiful voice.
Money cannot heal a broken heart, take away the pain. Poor people of the world, you are just like me. Human bodies slowly drowning in infinity. Say,
damn. You're tearing up a little bit.
I love her, man. She's great.
You know what it sounds. You know, her voice is incredible. I mean, that's incredible. Her voice is incredible. Kind of a little like Inya in there or something. Like that's a really great track. Did you produce this too?
I'm gonna say it before, you know, it comes out, because I don't want it the same thing to happen like when you brought up the book thing with my ex. So I'm just gonna say it. P. Diddy helped produce the track, but this was this was all before the sex trafficking stuff. This was all before I had no idea that was going on. Yeah, did I hear screams in rooms? Sure, but you know, who hasn't heard screams in rooms? So I had P. Diddy produce this track, but then once all that stuff information came out about it. We got other producers to produce the other tracks. I'm not a technical producer. I'm more of a vibe guy. I'm the guy in the studio that goes, I like that. I don't like that. I like that. You know, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, what do they say? The hand who holds the brush is not always the painter.
Correct.
And yeah, correct. And you need that, the tastemaker. What was it like working with P. Diddy?
He's handsy. I would say he's very handsy.
So there was like a sense that maybe something was
off. Yeah, he's very, very just touchy, very, you know, just, he was very friendly. And at first I was like, well, like, I've never met this guy, but I could maybe be like really good friends and with him. And then I realized, oh, mm-hmm. he might want to be more than friends with me. And, you know, maybe in a different time,
right.
I would be up for that. But I just met my new wife, Janice. I'm not going to do that to her. So I had to like, set boundaries. I was like, Diddy, stop touching my leg. You know, you silly man.
Yeah.
You silly goose.
I mean, yeah, honestly, like if I didn't know anything about the stuff that's coming out right now and P. Diddy was like, you know, flirting with me, it would probably make my ego
swell. It's kind of nice. And we bonded and, you know, afterwards I gave him, so you got my 9th Porsche. I gave him my 8th Porsche. And so
you gave him a Porsche
too as a thank you. And then we went, you know, driving. And we drove to the beach together. We took a long walk on the beach. And, so I felt a little responsible because I felt like, oh, maybe I'm leading him on, you know. And then so when it got a little touchy-feely, I had to go like, you know, I go, fucking P. Diddy, fucking slow down, man.
Friend zone.
Like, we're just
– You friend zone P. Diddy. You friend zone P. Diddy. Yeah.
What can I say? I'm a charmer. Duncan, I'm a charmer.
Yep. I get it. I get it. And by the way, before I forget, thank you so much on behalf of my kids. Those DARPA dogs that you sent over. Like, I've always been creeped out watching them online, like, because they look scary. But the ones you sent over are freaking cool. They're like pastel colors. They're soft for kids. And they've got some kind of like AI in them that makes them act like puppies. Yeah. And you can ride them. It is so funny. In the morning, the kids just ride around the house on these DARPA dogs. And it's hilarious. They chase each other. And that button that they can press that makes the like a horse sound. Yeah. It's
adorable.
They're self-charging. Yep. Thank you. Those things are crazy.
Just make sure, because we had an incident with my family. Because right now it's on puppy settings, so that's why they're so friendly. But the chip for that model I sent you, it is for a pit bull, like a security pit bull. So just every like 2 months, just reset the dog so it stays in that puppy age, in the friendly age. Because if not... We had a buddy of mine, I gifted the dog, and I told him up front, I said, just make sure to reset it, and he forgot to. And the kid lost a few fingers. The kid's fine.
Can you hold on just one – can you hold on 1 second? I'm just going to like – just because the kids are in the house on the dogs right now, I'll probably just tell my wife to reset the shit. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to be right back. Hold on 1 second. Babe?
Fuck. Glad I told him. Yeah, that would have been bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll fly. Yeah, the jet leaves at 4. And then we're landing in Paris.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Just real quick. I'm just telling Jenna something. The jet leaves at, leaves at 4. We'll be at Paris. I have to leave the next morning. Just, you know, do some business in Dublin. And I'll come back the next day. All right. I'll talk to you later. Love you.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I'm
glad I told you that. Just set a reminder on your phone. Yeah. Just every 2 months, reset it.
That would have been cool if you told me.
I'm sorry. I have a lot going on in my mind, you know.
You're busy. Okay, so here's something we definitely have in common. You and I are both very, very excited about the Elden Ring DLC. That's coming out in June. And I am so psyched. This game, it's my favorite game. I've been trying not to play because I get addicted to video games, but I'm going back on the sauce as soon as that comes out. I've got to play it. So what are your thoughts on the DLC? The previews look incredible.
Dude, I'm so bummed because, yeah, my uncle's making me go to the Bohemian Grove that week.
What?
Yeah, and...
Well, bring your PS5.
They're not allowed. Let's just say that. Yeah, what? Electronics are not allowed. Because they want you to be there. They want you to be fully immersed in the sacrifice and in the ritual.
The sacrifice? What are you fucking talking about, man?
Real, like the theatrics of a sacrifice, you know? The whole theatrics of...
Let me just wait. Hold on. You really need to be very clear here because, like, this is another thing people are up in arms about. People have been breaking into the Bohemian Grove. They filmed that weird owl fucking thing, and people think that there's an actual human sacrifice that happens at the Bohemian Grove. And you just said sacrifice, and I know you must not have meant human sacrifice. So you should be clear that you didn't mean they're not killing anybody.
We're not. During the ceremony, no one...
Do you want me to delete that part?
No. During the ceremony, let's just say no one is dying then.
So no one dies.
People die.
Is what... Donnie, I think I don't think you mean that. And so I'm going to go back.
Just delete it. Because, it's not a real sacrifice. The owl's named Hootie. And that's fun. You know, Hootie the owl.
Hootie and the boy.
Nothing menacing. But yeah, they just want us to go there. It's like summer camp. It's like a boys club. They just want us to, you know, be there together in community. Right. So I'm going to unfortunately miss the DLC. But when I get back, I'm going, you know, hopefully I have the spirit of Hootie in me. And then, you know, we can.
Hell, Shadow of the Erd Tree, baby. Yes, sir. There's some owls in that urn tree.
Yes, sir.
I'm so excited. I'm lucky. I'm living in Texas right now, and we're about to have an eclipse. It's going to be a total eclipse for 3 minutes in the middle of the day. My kids are so excited, and we are, the whole family's planning on going out, having a kind of eclipse picnic. I've been teaching the kids at school. They're teaching them about the eclipse. And I'm just curious if you have any eclipse plans.
I'm gonna be staying inside. I'm gonna.
You don't want to see the eclipse?
I'm gonna be staying. Me and my family, we have a little underground kind of bunker thing. We're gonna go in.
Why?
It seems like something will happen.
Yeah, the moon's going to get in the way of the sun, and it's gonna blot out the sun for 3 minutes, and then the sun will come back.
It also seems like other things are going to get in the way of other... You live in Austin, correct?
Yeah.
I know your kids probably won't like it, but they have the new dog. I would stay inside and just play with the robotic dogs instead, and just show them a video tomorrow, the next day on YouTube. Just show them a video.
But it's just a normal. These events happen all like.
They don't happen all the time, do they? Though. This is a one that once in a, you know, time event.
Yeah.
And if you know something about my family, you know.
You guys have been around for a while.
We're around, and we've seen a lot of one-time events, and they usually don't end, you know, well. So right. I would say during the eclipse,
are you saying it's
stay inside?
You're saying it's dangerous,
and that's as a friend to you. Like if anybody else wants to go, sure, you know, do you? It's a free country, and just as a friend, because I feel like we've bonded, and we're, you know, you have a Porsche, I have a Porsche, we're like very similar guys. I want you to be okay.
We love Elden Ring.
We love Elden Ring. You know, I just want you to be okay.
Okay. I'll have to talk to the wife about it. I mean, the kids are really, we're going to do like eclipse.
You stay inside, do that. I'll send a camera and we'll get you a big TV and you can watch it from the comfort of your home.
Yeah, we got a TV. You know.
I saw your car, and then I sent you a Porsche. You know, you show me your TV, I'll send you a new one. You know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not gonna say no, Dottie. Right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome,
you.
Man.
I guess we're running out of time here. This has been a joy talking to you and a relief.
Same here, man.
Because, you know, I'll admit I kind of got sucked into the hysteria around the global elite, the conspiracy theories about like depopulation, getting rich off of war, all the stuff.
Can I just say with the depopulation, we're not doing that. Would it be nicer if there was less traffic? Sure.
Yes.
Would it be nicer?
I would love it.
If I went to a ball game, it was just me watching the whole game in the stands by myself, and I could yell at the players like, fucking, you know, fuck, come on, LeBron, make the fucking show. Like, and have that personal collection.
A private game.
Sure. But, yeah, we're not doing any of that crap. Let me just say that. To think that my family is trying to hurt, you know, poors is sick. The Rothschilds we love poors, man. We love them.
Yeah. That's I think a lot of folks are probably going to be relieved to hear that. And I wonder if you have any, if you do have any kind of advice or you know, I a lot of people right now are struggling. A lot of people right now feel like that the system is rigged. They don't have any hope of ever like owning a home, ever having the resources that they would need to start a family. They have a general kind of like sense of like despair right now, not to mention the geopolitical situation in the world is so tense, and it feels like we could be on the precipice of World War III. So from your perspective, and I know we are the same at heart, but from your perspective, do you have any words for the people of the world who are kind of looking for a little hope?
Be who you want to be.
Be who you want to be.
Be who you want to be. So that mentality is, yes. So let's just say you don't have a home. Act like you do have a home. Be a man. Just even when you wake up, you know, in your car and you look around, go, oh, you know, pretend the glove box is your kitchen and the back seat is your bedroom, master bedroom, and the trunk is, you know, the pool house.
Yeah.
Build the world you want to live. And I think with hard work, with dedication, and by, sharing my Instagram and liking the posts, with a little luck, you'll be going to a nice university and your life will change.
Nice. Donnie, thank you so much. I hope that this has been a blast. I hope you will come back
anytime
on the show.
Duncan.
And I'm so excited. Honestly, I might get my kids to like your... I might throw myself in the raffle there, and tell everybody where they can find the album.
So you can find the album wearejustlikeyou.com, and the first track, We Are All the Same, will be on there. And just because the He Did It incident, we're finishing the rest of the album, so you can check out that single. Download the single; it is free. Again,
great.
I don't want to. And then the album will be coming out, and that will be $49.95. Once that is out, make sure to buy it. Buy it. Buy it. It's great. It's been
$49.95.
Yep. And just because we had a lot of people working on it, and okay. Yeah. And
got it.
So yeah, I'm excited to start this new music career, and then I'll see you on Elden Ring in a few weeks once I get back from the Bohemian Grove.
See you on Elden Ring. Donnie. I'm so excited. Have fun at the Grove. Have a blast. And thank you so much. Everybody, all the links you need to find Donnie are going to be at DuncanTrussell.com. Hare Krishna. Have a great day. A big thank you to Donnie Rothschild and the Rothschild family. If you're interested in picking up this amazing album, you can go to wearejustlikeyou.com. A big thank you to our wonderful sponsors. Support them. They support me. And thank you for listening. I love you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the DTFH. And if you want to see some video clips from the DTFH, subscribe to my Instagram. I'm Duncan Trussell at Instagram. They go up on my TikTok and my YouTube, my Grizzler, my Grinder, pretty much everywhere. I'm just going to leave you with this exclusive track from Donnie Rothschild's upcoming album, We Are Just Like You. I hope you have some Kleenex around because you're probably going to be crying.
You're people of the world. We are all the same. Money cannot heal a broken heart, take away the pain. Poor people of the world. You are just like me. Human body slowly drowning in infinity. Say. Slowly drowning in infinity.